Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts.
In the house.
In the house. In the
WBT
house.
You know how
house.
I said that? Duh. D-A.
Oh, you duh you're, house. You just the T-H-E. You're just going to move right on from that to duh.
That's old news. That is definitely not urban slang.
That just reminded me of the scene from Dumb and Dumber where he's trying to read. He's going, tuh-he, tuh. The other guy goes, yeah, it's the. Oh man! Starting with jokes.
You always remember these movies. I know. My memory's not as sharp as yours.
I've got some good '90s memory movies. I can do pretty well with.
But this
new stuff, I'm not. I'm not really.
It's hard for me to sit down and watch a whole movie these days. But I do get hooked up on that binge TV at 3 in the morning.
Yeah. I liked it back in the day where you couldn't watch the next episode for another week.
It made you yearn for something.
Yeah, now it's like, I got to know what happens.
It's just so too is the world.
Yep.
It's just
instant gratification.
Everybody's ruined.
Instant gratification.
Man, we had a Roby family town hall yesterday.
We sure did, yeah.
7 in the morning.
It's so cool to be able to see so many people in one space. It makes you feel.
We got a wonderful family of staff, family. Our different business lines, everybody that's local gets together.
Yep.
So we've got to see a bunch of faces. Something cool we've been doing for the last couple of years, every quarter.
Yeah, had
so,
a little
momentum in this thing.
Yeah, Chad come up from Greenville, our services guru.
I didn't mean him.
It was up from Greenville.
Well, thanks for the intro.
Yeah, they scurried right on to a sales meeting right afterwards. They were
gotta be selling.
You and I
always
had to meet,
be selling.
We had to meet on something else, I think, right afterwards. So we got snookered away.
ABS. Always be selling.
I thought it was ABC, always be closing.
Oh.
That's also a movie quote.
I hadn't used my alphabet in so long, I kind of forgot it.
That alphabet's tough,
man. I need to talk
to
Ford. He'll straighten me out.
I think they bought an internet company or something, the alphabet.
Really?
Yeah, Google, I think they...
on a pretty good run the last couple months, I think. Wouldn't they go public like a couple years ago?
Something like that.
Well,
speaking of tech stuff, real quick before we get jumping...
And if you need to, Google the At Home with Roby show.
Hey, I like what you did there. I'm going to go Apple for you, go on the podcast and listen to the At Home
I met
Roby
two
show.
Business fellas last night in Gastonia.
Yeah.
Trey and Ken Pruitt.
From Digitrol.
Yep. Told them about the show. Had good conversation.
Very
same
cool.
industry as ours. Very well respected folks. On my way here, before I got in the car, I sent them the link to the Martin McKinley show, and then I said, "Well, instead of listening to Hey Dad again for the 8 millionth time and cry, I said I'm gonna listen to this." And it was opposite of crying with laughter.
Well, so, that's okay. Let's talk about Hey Dad just for a second. I don't want to make you cry. I can't see the timer, so
we're good.
I'm
we're
leaning
plenty
on you.
Good. We got bills. We paying bills, homie.
It was cool. We did have the town hall with the company yesterday, and you were able to talk about your dad a little bit. So did your brother, and it was cool. It just sort of sparked some stories afterwards. Our group of directors from the commercial and services side, and just telling stories. We started the meeting telling stories about your dad, which. Meant so much to all of us at Roby, but I think he would have been pretty proud looking down at yesterday.
Oh, yeah. You know, when we started the radio show 8.5, 9 years ago, it was right after his passing.
Yeah.
And my brother Travis, who's never come on the show, maybe one day that'll change, but whatever, it is what it is. But he said, man, all you're going to do is get on there and talk about Dad and talk about our history. I don't know, nobody know all this stuff. And I was like, well, I kind of do want people to know. So it's really cool to see how he's evolved in 9 years, his willingness to speak. He does a great job.
He does a wonderful
Travis
job.
Travis does. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about Dad, telling stories and joking. He might have even thrown a little slang word in there and then made a joke about it. I was like, dang, he did go to Harding. He is from the West Side. You know?
Yeah.
You can take the boy out the trailer park or the hood or wherever they from, but you can't take it out of them. That's what they say.
Preach.
I'm in. West Side. Very good theme because we have Dirty South Customs on today. And I thought about this when I was exercising this morning. I was excited because my good friend, Hisham Bedouin's coming on, and he owns Dirty South Customs. And we really, we like our friends to come on and promote their business, talk about their stories and stuff, but we really never try to do any direct selling. So I hope that Hisham has some buy three, get one free tires and rims action or so. I don't know what he's got working. But I'm such a raving fan of this business and it's because of who he is, that I do always sell his people ask me about he redid my expedition. He redid Reagan's van, and they get a lot of talk.
What's the official name of your the whip?
No, the official name is the West Side Moneymaker.
The whip.
It's the West Side Breadmaker.
The whip.
But it's cool. We'll talk a little bit about that. But I met Hisham. Reagan met Hisham when she bought the van originally, and then I met Hisham when and she did say, "You would like this guy." I'm like, "No way."
Well, I know the type of people that you like, and the way you have talked about Hisham is he's a hustler, man. I mean, he runs hard and pushes hard, and that's
he does.
What we like.
And he's always
like
working.
How we are.
I mean, not going to outwork the man.
Yep. In fact, I'll even say that I've seen him work all the time, because I think one time you and I were in the car around 9:30 at night, and he was texting you, updating you on the card, maybe 9:30
or
10.
He was scared Reagan was going to come drop the hammer on him.
Oh, boy. We could talk about that, too.
Him and Reagan, they got their own thing. She deals with her van. I deal with my car. Two completely separate issues. Isn't that right?
I think I saw the van parked there earlier this week and some of the last week. You want to talk about that?
We got to know.
He didn't answer.
It's not.
Yeah, he does. I'm joking.
Somebody ran into Reagan's van and Hisham wrapped it. So
Yeah, I saw that.
He's got to work on it. But we got to really know each other and become good friends when we bought the property next door. So
yes.
We own properties beside each other. We in this together, right? When we return, Hisham Bedouin, Dirty South Customs. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm with Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the first segment, go back. You can check it out. You can Google us. You'll learn on the first segment, as well as you can check it out anywhere you can find podcasts. Trent, got some technical difficulties over there?
No, I was adjusting the sound in front of me for my headset, but it was really his sham sound.
Because I blew his eardrums out of his head.
Mine's plugged in over on your side.
I was wondering why your eyes kept getting big and then small. Well, if you had any kind of a headache, I'm sure that's been enhanced, so we'll apologize for that.
Welcome, Hisham.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
All right, get close to the microphone.
All
I'm
right.
Trying to teach you on this.
Okay.
You laid back. I understand.
All right.
What's up with the Pittsburgh Steelers hat?
Well, I was born in Wilmington, North Carolina, but I was raised mostly in Youngstown, Ohio.
Youngstown, Ohio.
And everybody knows anything about Youngstown, they'll know. Youngstown's right between halfway point between Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And it's also the halfway point between Chicago and New York. But anyway, I ended up being a Steeler fan. Going back to that, it was by default because we also lived in Cleveland during the Super Bowl. I became a Steeler fan. First Super Bowl I ever watched, first football game. My brother was cheering for the Cowboys, and I took the other team, luckily.
And it was the Steelers?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, 1976.
I hear you.
So dang. That's where the hat. That's where I put the hat.
First game cool. I ever watched, Eddie stuck with it. That says a lot about somebody.
See that?
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt when they win six Super Bowls. So there you go with the hat.
Well, one of my very best friends who's been on the show, Doug Lebda, is from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And when David Tepper bought the Panthers, the Rudy family, I think, took a lot of Tepper's ownership back. He had to sell it. And I think Doug jumped in.
Yes.
Because that's where he's from.
Yeah. Well, I hope Mr. Tepper gets it together. I think he will.
I hope so.
Yeah. I thought he'd follow the same program. As the Rooney's doing, kept the local.
Nah.
The local guy, he made a boo-boo there. Obviously.
He did,
yeah,
didn't
he made
he?
A boo-boo. It's, I like to keep it
he's
local.
He's learning?
Yeah, he's learning.
Well,
he better learn quick.
The guy he hired, I heard on the radio yesterday. I said this at our town hall on the way in. He was on Paul Schatt. Paul Schatt was giving him a hard time. He said, are you going to – you're going to win more games than you won this year. They won one game, right? Am I right about that? Two. Okay. And he said, I take my wins and my games one day at a time. We're going to try to win the day.
Yeah.
And if we do that every day, we'll be happy with the results at the end of the season.
I agree with that.
That's a pretty good deal, right?
Yeah, for sure. It simplifies it.
It really does. A little faith in there, you know?
Well, and talking about that local
guy.
Does
simplify.
That local guy's playing in the Super Bowl on Sunday. If you're talking about Steve Wilkes, if the coach we let go,
Yes, sir. He's doing a good job.
And the player we let go.
McCaffrey.
He's in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Goodness gracious.
I wonder if they throw a text message after the game if they win.
How do these football players get these pretty popular women? I don't understand. What are they doing? They got something going on. I don't see it.
I know, right?
TJ said it's the money.
Mm-hmm.
He's buying sweets. He's buying sweets for $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, his girlfriend is. Woo! Reagan, you better step up your game.
Oh, man. Better hope she doesn't listen to this radio show.
It's a test. My dad used to say, I think it was Lindsay Daniels. Zach Daniels has been on the radio. She's
really
old school, wonderful architect that I grew up knowing of and good friend. I think on like the 15th page of the plan spec, you know, you got these humongous plans. Nothing was digital. And on the 15th page, at the very middle bottom, it said, if you don't read this, you got to run around the house, take off your clothes, and run around the house naked or something.
That's got her.
So she knew who read it. Because if you said something to her about it, you read it. So we just always said something. She probably took it out. We still talking about it. So what age were you when you moved from Wilmington?
Well, I was a baby. We moved to Tampa, and then from Tampa we moved to Ohio. I've been back in Charlotte since 1997.
You know, I keep up with college basketball, and Youngstown State has a pretty good team this year.
I didn't see the basketball team, but we're usually football oriented.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jim Tressel was there.
Some
through National Division I AA championships. They're pretty good.
And you moved to Charlotte. When did you move to Charlotte?
97.
97.
Yeah, I moved back in 97. We just had an up north. And my grandpa was here in the 50s in Charlotte. My dad traveled all through here, you know, stayed. We used to sell door to door on the coast at the military bases and things like that. So he always loved the South.
What was he selling?
Especially the Carolinas. I mean, he was at first, those guys were like a Walmart on wheels, basically selling the military.
Really?
Yeah. Anything you wanted, really, they have it. Show up just hustling.
We call that a hustler.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
what you
get. It's in your blood. That's a problem.
Is your granddad first generation American?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. My grandfather came here in 1938, and he didn't go back overseas till 10 years later. It took him a month to get here on Yankee cruises.
Really?
So he stayed here for 10 years before he even went back. My dad didn't see his dad till he was 10 years old.
He came by himself.
He came with a friend, actually. I found the itinerary. Or
no
the manifest
way.
On it. Believe it or not, I didn't think it was going to. I found the manifest on Ancestry.com.
No, you're going to make me cry. That is so
cool. That is amazing.
Cool.
So it took 30 days. I mean, think about that. That could be terrifying in the middle of the ocean.
And
for
what
30
year
days?
Was it?
1938.
In 1938, it took him 30 days to get here.
That.
Didn't go back home for 10 years.
Yep.
Dang, can you imagine?
No.
Can you imagine the sacrifice that was for opportunity, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So you have where did it originate from?
Oh, where did he originate from?
He and the actual cruise.
It originated, one of them came, when he came back twice really at the time, one I believe left from Alexandria, Egypt, and the other one left from Haifa.
Oh my gosh.
Which were Palestinian, which that's been in the news too, but he left from Haifa. In Palestine in 1938. That was the two major ports.
Okay. And what are you – I'm going to get this wrong. What's his nationality?
He was Palestinian.
Palestinian.
Yeah, he's Palestinian. Yep.
I've told people you were of Syrian descent.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
What's all the Levant?
That's like saying I'm from California or South America or something.
That's, you know.
You can kick me in the head later.
Yeah.
But we talk very often on this show, and we hadn't in a little while, about how much I'm intrigued and in love, and I just think it's the coolest thing with first generation immigrants, because they work so hard, they're so loyal. I mean, the opportunity is just so fresh, and they just treat people well with respect, and it's a mutual thing. That is a cool story. You had told me something along those lines. I had forgotten a lot of it.
Yeah, when all you have is a suitcase and $50 and no choice but to make it, you'll find a way.
Yeah. Amen. So did he start the door to the military selling?
Yeah, a lot of the guys, they landed in Boston, and a lot of them, they're like, forget this. This is too cold up here. So a lot of them would migrate down, I think, to the East Coast. And eventually, a lot of the guys from my dad's village, which is Bethel, ended up in Eastern North Carolina.
Really?
Yeah. So that's how I ended up being born in Wilmington.
In Wilmington.
Yeah, which we never left. But
so what took him to Youngstown?
Well, we had family, and I think he was on the road a lot. He ended up evolving into buying Native American jewelry from reservations. And then going and distributing it nationwide to gift shops all over the country. So he traveled every single state. Probably could tell you better routes than a modern navigation.
Depending on
how you wanted to travel. So then he ended up, after being so many years on the road, we were all getting older. He settled down and bought a grocery store. And after Dayton, we were in Cleveland. Yep.
He bought a grocery store in Cleveland?
Yeah, from Ralta, yes. And that's where the challenges began.
That's where the challenges began?
Yeah, yes.
It reminds you of Ashish on the radio. Ashish Mystery. Go listen to his parents' story.
Yeah.
They just come try to make a living.
Yeah.
It's a survival.
Yeah. So.
So what kind of grocery store?
It was just a regular. It was called Save More. There were chains. There were independent corner. You know, not corner, but it was a supermarket.
And your dad bought a grocery store?
Yeah. 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 It was actually one of my my other side of the family. One of the family members had it. So he bought it. Wanted to settle down and. You go into different environments and you experience different things. You go from selling the gift shops to selling on the east side of Cleveland. You'll find out real quick. So we had our challenges, to say the least. And
so did you work in the store as a kid?
No, not then. No, I was too young.
No.
I started working when I was 12 in the other one in Youngstown.
All right. We got to go pay some bills. Will you stick around?
Yes, sir.
Hisham Bedouin, when we return, Dirty South Customs. Man, what awesome stories we got coming out of this fella. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. But man, if you missed the last couple of segments, got to go back.
I've been talking about this.
I know you have. I know you have. I see your vehicles, your whip out front of his shop.
I've had like four people tell me that Reagan's fans at Dirty South.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's on Front Street. Literally. Literally.
Front Street.
It literally is.
Yeah, yeah.
Where
is that
dent?
Your building is so close to the road.
Yeah.
Which has its advantages, also has its disadvantages.
Yeah.
Because when you're crowded and you pull in, you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take frontage any day, though. I'd rather be closer to the road than, you know.
You then tuck back. Yeah.
I'm with you. So your granddad, I mean, your dad settled down, bought a grocery store from the other side of his family in Cleveland.
Yes.
And did that while you were a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you told me some stories about your entrepreneurship up in that area. Tell us what went on with you.
Well, my story kind of, a lot of times people are like, well, how did you end up where you are now, and how did you end up creating Dirty South Customs? Really, it's been a journey. And if it wasn't for a lot of people around me, whether it's family, friends, and believe it or not, customers from the least expected people, you'll find the opportunity, and you just don't even know it. And what happened with me was, I was pre-med. I have a biology degree. Nobody would even know. Everybody thinks, you know, nothing wrong with hustling, but at the same time, I think an educational background always helps. My dad made me stick through school. There was a couple of times. So I was in school.
So you got an undergrad biology degree.
Yeah, wow. Undergrad biology degree. And
at Youngstown.
From Youngstown State.
Youngstown
State.
Yep.
Go Penguins. So,
the Penguins.
Yeah.
I think they play tonight at 7:30.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we'll check it out.
The spread is now. I'm just keeping.
Yeah, right.
Minus 6.5.
Yeah. Right. The most important thing. You know. So yeah, so we ended up moving. We ended up moving from Cleveland to Youngstown for an opportunity with another store, and then Warren. So you know, you kind of like have to kind of adapt as you go up there, different circumstances. So I ended up we were in Warren, Ohio. And I had a customer come in that was a DJ. And this is really where I started on my own journey, which was, it was funny because he'd come in, and you know, we always talk to customers. They come in a neighborhood store, you know, right between the projects in Warren, Ohio. And he comes in and he's like, yeah, man. He's like, there's this music. He's like, you should start selling music in here. And I had some friends that were in the wireless industry at the time that had pagers. And a lot of that stuff, that's when everything was new. So he comes in, he's like, yeah, you should say, comes out on Tuesdays. And I love music. I'm like an 18-year-old, you know what I mean? Just trying to fit in.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. So, I mean, really, the music really wasn't that much money. So he's like, yeah, man, there's this group that just came out. He goes, people are going crazy over their music. I was like, really? I said, yeah. He's like, yeah. It was NWA.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So what is this, like the late 80s, mid-80s?
Yeah, it was late 80s. Yeah.
Man, I just watched Straight Outta Compton, like literally last week. Yeah. Crazy movie. Yeah.
So the funny thing is, like, even along that line, well, anyway, so it was that. Then it started, you know, so I was telling him, I was like, God, when I even listened to it for the first time, this is me, I'm kind of a very diverse person. Went to private school for the most part, you know, through high school. And where I grew up was probably the rougher area, Youngstown. East side of Youngstown, so I got a little bit of everything, you know.
As good environment at home, now, right?
Yeah, good environment at home. It's like that's how it is, I guess. But anyway, so from there, he's like, yeah, and I listened to him. I got the music, and this is just like I was like, just give it a shot. Then he was like, yeah, man. He was like, they're selling these T-shirts out in L.A. He was like, you should get a few T-shirts. So we used to cash checks in the store. Then I got NWA T-shirts. And then The Chronic came out. So I took a clothesline. We used to cash checks. I put a clothesline in front of my dad's office. And I sold like $500 in T-shirts. And I was selling them for like $15 buying them.
Really? Back then? The
back
80s.
Then. So my dad was like, wow. Yeah.
So you sold Dr. Dre an NWA T-shirt?
Yeah, yeah. Yep, for sure. And I sold a lot of them. You're at the right place at the right time. And at the time, believe it or not, my dad was like, you should wholesale them. I was like, no, why? I was young. So I was like, no, I want all the money. He's like, no, go to stores. And I really was one of the first people to put hip-hop clothing in corner stores or in
really?
The hood and stuff like that. So I had like 80 stores selling my T-shirts. I was getting all kinds
you
of...
You had 80 stores selling your T-shirts when you were 18, 19 years old?
Yeah,
yeah.
Holy
I was
cow.
On the road. I guess that hustle, that's the part.
What'd your dad say?
I mean, he was happy. We ended up selling the store and just being there. We're just trying to survive. You know, big competition started, big supermarkets started opening up. So I was trying to do whatever I could to make money. And then at one point, you know, there's lines that you could do. There's a shade of gray sometimes. And he saw, you know, maybe, you know, sometimes you make money. Money's not everything. So he saw me about, you know, going the wrong path. He ended up selling the store. So we ended up going, he ended up hitting the road and going different cities and taking them. Like when Tupac wore the stocking cap, you know, how many of those can you, door to, I mean, like really store to store. You could fit like, I don't know how many thousands of dozens in a big maxi van. So we were selling thousands of dozens of those. And but at the time, I knew the opportunity. I was the first guy out, man, wearing an African-colored Carl Kanai suit with
really?
Some combat boots. And,
oh, man.
So,
that's mean, crazy.
Yeah. But
take it, you back to Harding there, buddy. Goodness gracious. Wow. So
cow.
What brought y'all to Charlotte?
Really, we just, I ended up from the clothing, a customer of mine. There's another thing, you know, from a person that I used to sell to clothing. Some of his relatives had pager stores in Cleveland. They ended up growing to a massive chain. They were the first reseller in the country for pagers. So we ended up, he was in wireless. He saw my hustle. He was like, let's partner up. I love Pittsburgh, obviously. It was like, you know, we used to go out there and stuff like that. So I love the city. And I was debating, what, you know, what my next steps were. And either go the professional, believe it or not, I was even considering law school. But I knew these guys were making millions doing wireless. So at the time, because of the timing, I got into that with him. I partnered up. And then from Pittsburgh, my family decided they wanted, you know, they had enough. My dad was like, you know what, I just want to move back down south. He goes, I'm done, you know, just continues, we're moving in. So he ends up moving down. I'm about to move in a new apartment. I have my U-Haul behind my store. I come in the next day to move my stuff. The U-Haul's gone with everything I own in it. So to me, that was a sign. And I wanted to be with my family. Maybe God knew it. So, and then I made a decision to sell out to my partner and come back down. And I started Fastlink Wireless. And I opened, you know, two stores, on one on South Boulevard and one on Sugar Creek by Dinglewood, and a little shopping center right there on
what
Sugar Creek
in
the Plaza, 1997.
Fastlink Wireless.
Yeah, on the corner of Sugar Creek and the Plaza right there.
Yeah, I know exactly where that is. I used to live near there. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not back then, but yeah, I know. I know
and you were
exactly
selling pagers?
Cell phones. Yeah.
Yeah. Cell phones there. Were coming
yeah.
along then?
Yep.
Wow, that was early on.
Yeah.
You caught that wave. You caught a bunch of waves here.
Yeah.
You surf?
Yeah, no, when I need to.
Of course you did. Yeah. Of course you did. Did you sell surfboards?
Yeah, no, I would. No, that might be an idea.
So how long did you have Fastlink Wireless?
We ended up, I had stores also in Fayetteville. I was recruited to open stores in Fayetteville. And from our family ties back then, I thought that was, that's another good story I can tell you. But we ended up recruiting there. So I was, I would say right until I opened the store on Wilkinson in 04. So I still had Fastlink over on Sugar Creek through 04. And then I was, I had gotten into distribution from my retail operations and some of the stores I had in Fayetteville. I was in wholesale distribution for Cricket Wireless in different cities. I went back to Pittsburgh. I had Toledo.
Wow.
That's when they only were in certain cities, Charlotte and Greensboro. So I got into wholesale. I was importing my own accessories, stuff like that.
Goodness gracious.
That's amazing.
Isn't that an amazing story?
When did Dirty South actually come to life?
Every time that there's a struggle, there's another way.
Yep.
And out of necessity. From my our relationships, my dad had bought some speakers on closeout from a cousin, and I had them in the corner behind the counter. People started asking about the speakers. Now, when we had our grocery store in Warren, I tried, after I started selling the clothing and stuff, I was like, and I was into the music, had card done up. I was like, let me split the store, do a clothing store with car stuff, stereos and things like that. He was like, no. So from those speakers in the corner, people started asking. And then after Cricket opened, and the areas that we had opened, people started moving from pagers, so we didn't have the recurring income from that. So they started going on to not doing contracts. So they went there into those set unlimited plans. It was opportunities. Mm-hmm. Well, the margins weren't the same because there was no contract. So obviously the revenue wasn't the same either. So I went from making $300 in activation to making $25 off selling a phone. So I did the math and I knew it was going to work. So from there, they started asking about that. I built a sound wall and I had a guy, people started asking, and then we started doing installs and I lost the contract with Cricket where I was leaving on my honeymoon, came back, my wife's pregnant, I'm out. And I was like, you know what, I got to find something else to do. So I went back to my passion. I put a flyer together and started flyering all the clubs and people started coming in.
And what year did you get married?
In 02.
02. We're going to go to break. We got you on a cliffhanger because we finally made it to Dirty South Customs for the last segment.
Yes.
Hisham, man, this is awesome. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Hasten from the Roby family. You got some go.
Of companies. I was just watching Hisham try to put his headset back on. He couldn't figure out which way the earbud went. And for a man that broke barriers in the car and audio, video, and music industry, you can't figure out a 24.
I was like,
headset.
How did this thing flip around, man? Like, it was like, I was like,
there's no left.
I was like, first, I was like, how did I do that? I was like, I was like, how did I do that? I got it.
It's all good. We know how to get him now.
We flip, just flip his earphones.
Yeah. You're not getting
headphones.
Much by. So, so you got married in 02. You did a sound wall. You moved on to Wilkinson in 04.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And you were a tenant? At the time?
Well, that was funny because Mr. Lambert, who owned the property at the time, I called the number, we start talking, and everybody's like, you know, the accent. Well, Youngstown is like a medley of all kinds of immigrants, steel mills, you know. So I could hear it in his voice. I was like, where are you from? He's like, Youngstown, Ohio.
You're kidding me.
I swear. So he was from Youngstown.
No way.
Where I grew up, and he went to the rival Catholic high school.
Really?
Like, when I say rivals, I mean rivals. So I'm talking to this guy. We hit it off. So sometimes I've gotten so lucky at times just with relationships.
Yeah, that's
crazy. I had looked at the property probably a year before. I still have the notes. And I ended up calling him. We made a deal, and it was kind of lease to own and stuff like that at the beginning. But,
really?
You know, it was a fair deal. It was fair.
So did he have anything
to do with it? He did a fair deal with us, too. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good
guy.
Mr. Lambert's a good guy.
Known in the world of our construction.
Yes.
Stone restoration was his business. Yeah. Everybody knows him to be a good dude.
So the plumbing folks were below you, right? Are they?
Yes.
Piedmont Plumbing?
Yeah.
They're not Lamp. That's okay.
Yeah. Piedmont Plumbing. They've been there since the 40s.
I think the
brothers are the ones that built the building, which is, for everybody listening, and everybody remembers Kimbrell's Furniture. You know, before Kimbrell's, it was like Charlotte's first furniture store.
Yeah.
Which they have the pictures and all that. There's so much history behind that building. There's three brothers, and they built it in three different segments. Piedmont was in the basement. They were there for like 50-something.
Oh, that's where Dad always said that's the only place you could find what you need.
Yeah.
We worked at Ferguson, a couple of us at Roby, Dave McGuire and I, and we couldn't stock those hard-to-get parts because they wouldn't turn fast enough.
Right.
We probably sent 10 people a day to that plumbing
shop.
Right below Dirty South Custom. Yeah. Oh, I know exactly where it is.
Yeah.
They still there?
No. Unfortunately, Mr. Withrow passed away, and then, you know, the ladies found another job. I tried to keep him. I wanted to keep him there just for the history.
Yeah.
So I even offered. I was like, well, you guys need any help, so forth and so on. I was like, can we do anything like that? The knowledge is really the two employees that he had in there. And everybody swears by my side. That's somebody come in right before I got here.
Yep.
And a lot of things that they carried, nobody had. But they've moved on. It's unfortunate, but, you know, sometimes.
But you have a couple businesses, like a lawn business that uses the back.
Yeah. He leases some land. They do, like, digging for AT&T and things like that. But I have a relationship with him. He was my landscaper.
That's cool.
Yep.
Well, I had looked at that building. You own the building. Because when I started liking Wilkeson, Brian Butler had showed me that building.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were considering potentially selling it, maybe not. I don't know. I didn't meet you when I looked at it, and then years later we bought the building beside you. You and I meet, we become friends. I got a couple guys and a partner in my building, Ken Fairley, who's a great guy, and he said, "Hey, you gonna try to buy your building?"
Yeah,
and I'm like, "No." No, this is my boy.
Uh-huh.
We don't need to take each other out. We need to stick together.
Right.
And our philosophies are the same. Yeah. So you have a very successful operating business in there that I think it more scratches your itch of entrepreneurism and hustle.
Yeah.
And pays the bills and we're trying to put a business next door. We're going to move Roby over there beside you. I thought that would have been really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just going to be too much. We already got an office.
Yeah.
So, So how is Dirty South doing?
Good. It's steady, with the economy, of course. People aren't rushing to buy wheels and tires like they used to, especially depending on the mood of the country. We're the first ones that anytime to dip in the economy, it's the first things people do. But we're still, we're holding on and we're looking for the future. Trying to, things are always changing in automotive.
How can people look you up? They can go by your store. What's your address?
Yeah, 2639 Wilkinson Boulevard, and you could look us up on DirtySouthWheels.com.
Man, Dirty so South cool. Wheels. I
yeah, DirtySouthWheels.com.
Hisham, you've given a lot of philosophies. I want to tell a little story right before we go. Well, what's one philosophy you live by?
Impossible is nothing.
Woo!
He was ready for that.
I was
going to
say the opportunity always lies in what you think's not an opportunity. It's around the corner.
Yeah.
Impossible is nothing.
That's cool.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So nothing is impossible.
So I bought, Reagan did Reagan's van about 6 or 7 years ago. Everybody likes it. It's got nice rims, nice tires, a little jacked up, wrapped it. You told us to wrap it. I had never thought about wrapping it. I buy my car. I tell my brother, my Expedition I bought, and I tell my brother in McGuire, I said, hey, I want Hisham to hook it up because it's kind of who I am. And so I give it to him and say, hey, do your thing. Surprise me.
Yes. Turned out good.
And we go, he sends me pictures. We go look at it. Reagan and the girls are like, I don't like it. And I'm like, And I didn't love it right instantly. We go there and look at it. He pulls out of the rims. You're always willing to do stuff. You said, hey, but I think you have it for a minute. Give it a chance. These are fuel rims. He knows what he's doing. You said they were the Jordan of the rim industry. And I, in the middle of debating, I said, nope. I gave it to Hisham. I asked him to do it. He knows me. We're going to roll with it. That's what it is. And immediately everybody started talking about it. I love my car.
Awesome.
It would not be the same experience, and I wouldn't have that story to tell if I had done it any different. So thank you.
I appreciate you.
Thanks for being a friend.
Yes,
Godspeed to your business.
Yes,
listen,
thank you.
Go do the golden rule today. Triage the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile around on your face. Thanks for listening. Hisham Bedouin, Dirty South Rims.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.